We're going to read from God's Word, from Matthew. Matthew chapter 3. Oh, it's on the screen as well. So Matthew chapter 3. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths before him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locust and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do you think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father'? I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the tree, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the gospels. We thank you for the good news. We thank you that we are able to have the Bible in our own language. Lord, help us now to hear from you. Give us hearts, Lord, that are open to receive what you want us to hear. Help us, Lord, to listen to what you're saying. Amen. So, maybe a bit of confession time here for one or two of us. Just to let you know that I need to be home by about 9 o'clock this evening. That's when I'm a Celebrity starts. So, hopefully, there we go. So, anybody watch I'm a Celeb? No. Yeah, one or two. I like to think that the reason I watch I'm a Celebrity to get me out of here is so that I can then keep in touch with sort of cultural issues, and I can understand the people that I meet with and that sort of thing. It has nothing to do with the fact that I enjoy watching people being humiliated. But anyway, one of the things that they do, if we can put the next slide on, one of the things that they do is Ant and Dec, who present the program, they have this kind of clearing where they invite their guests to go to, and they have to, the guests have to complete various tasks. So I want to invite you this evening to participate maybe in some of these tasks. So if you put the next slide on, hopefully you'll see, this is my wife, this is Mandy, and she's actually smiling there, but I can assure you it was through gritted teeth. I decided to do some cooking last night, and just so that you know what I was cooking, put the next slide on, you'll be able to see there these delicacies, and she'd smelt this smell. She was in the lounge, and I was in the kitchen, and she came through and she said, "What on earth are you cooking?" I said, "Locusts!" She said, "You're using my frying pan!" It's great, isn't it? She wasn't quite as impressed as I thought she might be that I was doing some cooking, that I'd used her frying pan and the kitchen utensils. So when I'd finished, I had to kind of clean up after myself. But I didn't want you to miss out on the experience. So, if anybody would like to try, I'm told that you're only supposed to eat the tails. So if anybody would like a locust, no? Well, as it happens, Magnus, I did go foraging. Oops. I did go foraging yesterday. It wasn't quite out into the wild, but I managed to go down to Morrison's. So, locusts and honey, that tempting, maybe. I put the lid on those because they smell pretty bad. Anyway. Bit weird. Locusts. Maybe I'll leave that open and you can actually see them there. That would be really good, wouldn't it? There we go. Aren't they lovely? No? Okay. These nice things. All there for you to see. No? What do we think of when we think of John the Baptist, apart from locusts and wild honey? Anything else? Baptism of Jesus, yeah, okay. Who was his parents? Or who were his parents? Zachariah and Elizabeth, okay. How does the Bible describe them? Elderly. Elderly? Hopefully, it'll tell you. There we go. According to Luke 1:6, both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. Wow. I would like to say that my two children have been well brought up and that Mandy and I could be described like this. Sadly, no. But anyway, that was the background for John the Baptist, that he was raised in this household by two people who were described in such an amazing way. But we can go back further than that. We can go into the Old Testament, and we'll see there Isaiah, as has been quoted already, a voice of one calling. In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And then in Malachi, the messenger is referred to there in chapter 3. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. And then later on in chapter 4 of Malachi, he's referred to, this messenger is referred to as Elijah, who will come before the great day of God. And we can see the parallels, can't we, in maybe John the Baptist and what he wore. Just so you know how strange John the Baptist was, I couldn't find a camel coat. Okay, so I want you to use your imagination a little bit. But imagine that, so this old kind of sheet thing. So if you wore something like that round Bangor, and then maybe put, I did have a belt, oh there it is, and a nice leather belt to go round it. And maybe just to finish the outfit off, you'd have some nice kind of wiggy type hair. Do you think people might look at you a bit strange? So that was kind of John the Baptist for you. He looked a bit different to how everybody else was dressing at that time. He was acting strangely, to say the least. And yet the prophecies about him and the way that he was raised were all there in the Bible. So there are parallels maybe between Elijah and John the Baptist. But then it goes on, this interesting character in Matthew 11:18. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. Okay, and it's probably not surprising, given the way that he dressed, the way that he acted, that people kind of thought, yeah, this guy's a bit crazy. The crazy preacher. Okay, and we read that verse and we say, oh, John came neither eating or drinking. And we think, oh, that's a bit strange, because actually we know that he did eat because he had honey and locusts. So what does it mean? It's kind of a poor translation a little bit. What it means is socializing. Okay, so if you were to put, instead of John the Baptist came neither eating or drinking, if you said John the Baptist didn't really socialize, he was a bit of a misfit. He was a strange character who kind of maybe was a bit of a recluse, maybe didn't really mix with people. And because of his strangeness, people thought he was possessed because of his actions. So he doesn't really seem to have an awful lot of things going for him. In fact, I dare to say that John the Baptist is kind of one of those people that, as a preacher, it gets to the second Sunday in Advent, and Roshni says, oh, would you like to come to Penrath? You know, yeah, that'd be fine. What are we going to preach on? John the Baptist. Oh, great. Thanks. Because I might be wrong, but I'm kind of guessing, apart from Christmas, apart from this time of year, have you ever heard a sermon centered around John the Baptist? Apart from when he baptizes Jesus, as Andrew mentioned before. I'm guessing probably not. And there's a reason for that, because it's kind of, it doesn't quite fit. We like the tinsel, we like the good news of Christmas. Jesus is being born. And then we've got this crazy prophet who kind of shows up like a bad penny every year. And we have to kind of include him in this story, because his message was a bit more doom and gloom. The axe is at the tree. You're going to be thrown into the fire unless you sort yourselves out. Challenge for the music group. Find a song that's centered around John the Baptist and his message. Because it's not kind of what we expect Christmas to be. But I think the real problem that I've got with John the Baptist is actually, I'm a little bit jealous. Because he had this kind of blunt, this tough message that he would bring to the people. And part of the problem for modern day preachers, particularly in congregational churches, churches like the Baptist Church, is that actually we have hundreds of bosses. You see, when we preach, it feels a bit like that everybody thinks, oh yeah, well, we'll just share with the preacher the benefit of what he said wrong. Or we'll kind of own a little bit of that person, because actually, when we give our offering, well, we're giving into that person's time, so we'll kind of direct the preacher. Traditionally, as congregationalists, as preachers, we were given what's called the freedom of the pulpit. It used to be called something like being 6 foot above contradiction, meaning that, you know, nobody was allowed to argue with the preacher. But these days, thankfully, that's gone. But even so, sometimes as the church, as church members, we have this idea that we own the preacher. So I'd like to be a bit more like John the Baptist, because John the Baptist, basically, he'd got his locusts, He'd got his honey. He'd got his weird clothes. And he was quite happy to be on his own. And yet people came to listen to what he had to say. Anybody know how far people had to travel from Jerusalem to get down to the Jordan to go and listen to what John the Baptist had to say? Any offers? A mile? Several miles? Any advance on several? About 20 miles, probably, if we believe the current location of the baptismal site, which is about 70, 80 miles from Jerusalem, then it's possible that people travelled all that way. But because of the rules of how long you could travel for during a day and all that sort of thing, it's probable that people travelled from Jerusalem to the closest point, which was where John the Baptist was kind of centering himself, which was probably about 20 miles. And people did, in their hundreds, in their thousands. They travelled down to listen to what John had to say. So I was trying to think of a great preacher that you would all know, so that there are several, and this is not meant as a slight on any of them. But I'm going to pick on Billy Graham. So I want to imagine Billy Graham is coming to North Wales. But because of new rules by the Welsh Assembly, he's only allowed to speak in one place. And they've chosen that he's going to speak in Colwyn Bay. So you guys from Bangor, well, you'll have to make your way there. But I'm sorry, you can't use your cars and you can't use the rail network. You're going to have to walk there. And for us who live in Rhyl, well, we'll probably have to do the same. I wonder how serious we would be then about getting forward and saying, yeah, we want to go and listen to Billy Graham and the message that God has given him for us in our time. If we have to walk 20 miles. I mean, most of us complain when we can't find the remote control and have to get up from our seat to try and figure out on the television how to change the channel. Let alone walking quite a few miles. So John the Baptist, he attracted people, even though he was giving this hard, blunt message to the people. So as I was preparing for this, hopefully the slide will come up. I was thinking whether or not I'd get away in Sussex Street with saying to the leadership team, hey, you brood of vipers. I think they'd probably call me a few names back again. It's been said that people don't come to church to hear the truth. People don't come to church to be challenged. They don't come to church anymore to be made to feel uncomfortable. What people want is to come to church and kind of be stroked. They want people at the front to, oh yes, it's okay. And your prejudices are all right. And God loves you. And it's all right. And grace is abounding. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that those things aren't true. God does love us. And his grace is abounding to us week after week. But actually, what if we had this hard-hitting message that John had? I wonder, would we still come? So John's message: God is coming. That was the first part of his message. God is coming. And the second part: you can change. You can change. It's my son's 25th birthday tomorrow. And he's changed over the years. When he was a baby, he was kind of little and cuddly and cute and smiled and all that kind of stuff. And as much as I wanted him to stay like that, I knew he wouldn't. I knew that actually by giving him food and by trying to teach him and educate him and send him to school and all those things, that he would grow. And yet sometimes when we come to church, what we want to do is to be able to just kind of blend into the background, to sit back and not be challenged. And not go back home thinking maybe there's things that we need to change. We might want to stay in the same condition. I might want my son to stay as a nice little baby, but it isn't going to happen. Maybe we make mistakes. Maybe we've done things wrong. Maybe things are not quite right in our lives. But the good news is the same as it was when John the Baptist was speaking. You can change. And it doesn't mean that the slate can be wiped clean in the sense that you can forget about everything that's happened. Because if you've been hurt or if you've hurt somebody else, maybe that can't change. There used to be a phrase which said something like, forgive and forget. And it used to be thrown around in churches. Oh, you've got to forgive and forget. I want to challenge that. We must forgive. The Lord's Prayer, the end of that, it says, forgive others. Because if you don't, God cannot forgive you. And we need that. But I don't think that sometimes we can forget some of those situations. And I think what John the Baptist would say is, you can change. You can forgive. You can repent. And that's the good news. The bad news is that maybe it's going to hurt a bit as you get through this situation. Maybe it's going to be difficult for you to have those conversations, to apologize to the people that you've hurt or who have hurt you. Let's move on to the baptism that was practiced. We read how people were going down to John the Baptist. They were hearing this message of repentance and they were being baptized. The Jewish culture was full of these kind of ritualistic cleansing moments. If you remember, one of the accounts that's in the Gospels is of Jesus' disciples being criticized because they didn't wash their hands in the right way or at the right time or something like that. And the Jews were kind of obsessed with this idea of getting clean, of washing or sprinkling themselves to show that they were righteous, that they'd got things right between them and God. And this idea of baptism, it's not like the baptism we have now where we recognize it's about the forgiveness of our sins, but also dying to our old selves and being resurrected with Christ. No, no, this baptism that John was saying was usually reserved for Gentiles, so that's people like you and I, who wanted to become Jews. So normally, the full immersion version was a means for the Gentiles to show that they wanted to be completely transformed and to become Jews. So when these Jews were coming to John the Baptist and being challenged by him, it was as though they were saying, by being baptized, we are just like the Gentiles. We are as far away from God as the Gentiles are. And the only way that we can get right with God is to humble ourselves and to be completely immersed in the water as a symbol of our repentance, of our need to be made clean. And it's probable that the Sadducees and the Pharisees, when they came down, they weren't coming down to listen to John's message and to hopefully be baptized. They probably were coming to spy on what John was saying. They were probably coming to see who, in their minds, in the Pharisees and Sadducees, who was humiliating themselves, that as good Jews, they were having to become like those horrible, dirty Gentiles. And so therefore, John greets them with this beautiful handshake and greeting of, "You brood of vipers." What a greeting for church leaders. Not in a positive way. So John's message sounds harsh. It sounds like he's judging people. It doesn't sound at all like the good news that we associate with Christmas, with Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior. I think part of the problem is that we've got used to this gospel message, this good news, being all about grace, being all about love. And yeah, we do sometimes come to church and want to be stroked. But actually, if we want to get to the real good news, it might be that we have to get through the bad news first. We might need to go on that long journey from Jerusalem all the way down to the River Jordan, to humble ourselves, to put ourselves in a place that says, "Actually, God, I'm a long way from where I should be. I want to be ready for Christ's return." When John was preaching, he was getting people ready for the Messiah. We should be getting ourselves and the people around us ready for Christ's return. So John's message of repentance is still the same, I believe, for us today. We need to repent and be baptized. Maybe not baptized again in water, but actually to allow ourselves to be changed and transformed into the people that God has called us to be. And it may not be the message that we want to hear this Christmas time, that actually there are things in our lives that we need to change. But I still believe it's a message that we need to give. That even in our churches, we should be coming and saying, "Yes, God is with us, but we, as his followers, need to change." There's a quote by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, which I hope will come up on the screen. And it says this: "Christianity without discipleship is always Christianity without Christ." So if we're truly followers of God, then we need to be disciples. And to be a disciple meant so much more than just kind of a casual following. These people who came out to travel this distance to see John and then to follow Jesus would have given everything to be followers of God. I wonder if that could be true of us, that we actually will give and sacrifice because we want to follow God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this crazy preacher called John the Baptist. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to be disciples, to be willing to maybe be a bit strange around the people that we meet, because we're willing to speak about you. We're willing to be called weird because we talk about God. We're not afraid to tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ. And help us, Lord, to take the message of John the Baptist, that we would repent, that we would seek forgiveness, that we would prepare ourselves. Even as we prepare for Christmas, that we would prepare for your return. That when you do come back, you would find us ready. So help us, God. Amen.